from the rivers of ilm, of knowledge. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was given a special honor. And the scholar began with the Battle of Tabuk, wherein the author said, there Abdurrahman ibn Auf was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as no other Muslim had been before. It was time for the Salat al-Fajr, and everyone was waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They waited for a long time, and still Rasulullah alayhi salam did not appear. The Muslims soon feared they would miss the time for Fajr. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf led the prayer. Okay, the first rak'ah was just finished when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joined the people praying. Abdurrahman ibn Auf must have saw the Prophet ﷺ and stepped back. Right? So Rasulullah ﷺ motioned for him to continue. Abdurrahman had the most unique experience of being the Imam in front of the Imam of the Prophets, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the soldiers announced the greeting of peace to the end of the prayer, Rasulullah ﷺ arose and completed the rak'ah he had once missed. When he finished, he said, quote, "You have done well, for indeed a prophet doesn't die until he has been led in prayer by a pious man of his people," end quote. So this was one of the honors of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, that he led Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Salah, right? Abdurrahman ibn Auf apparently was chosen by all of the great Sahaba, all those great men, during this battle of struggle, the Battle of Tabuk, of Abdurrahman, a rich man, right? A man who's filthy rich out in a Battle of Tabuk, which was nothing but struggle and hardship. A long way in the hot sun. If you want to know about a battle of jihad, research the Battle of Tabuk. And here, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, rich as can be, right along in this hardship and in this struggle with the Mujahideen and the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This speaks a lot about Abdurrahman ibn Auf's character. So, when Mecca was finally reopened to the Muslims, this is after the Fath of Mecca. At the time of the farewell pilgrimage, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further demonstrated his trust in Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He appointed him and Uthman, his son-in-law, guardians of all of his wives who accompanied him. Rasulullah ﷺ was personally in charge of 30,000. Personally. That doesn't mean that only 30,000 were there. I mean, he was personally in charge of these 30,000. It was the first pilgrimage in hundreds of years dedicated solely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with no idolaters or no adulterous practices, and it was the renewal of the right established by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu salam. And so this was a great occasion, okay? And the author is pointing out, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he had such a status, such a beloved and trusted status before our beloved Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Muhammad alayhi salam put him in charge of his wives. Okay, this is something very honorable before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Abdurrahman ibn Auf and all the others who are able to share it and experience great joy with their beloved Rasul. However, as they stood at Arafat listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak of the duties from Allah that he had discharged, the people became aware that he was saying goodbye. This was confirmed by the revelation that descended at that time, quote, "This day I have perfected your religion for you, and I have completed my blessings upon you." Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 3. Not long after that, the Prophet of Allah died. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. All of his sahaba had to go on living without him. Doing the best they could, Abdurrahman ibn Auf continued to take care of Rasulullah's wives. La ilaha illallah. The mother of the believers, Ummuhat al-Mu'mineen, he used to escort them when they went out, and he made Hajj with them when they made Hajj. Now look at the character of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he loved the Prophet so much that he took after his wives, after his beloved friend, his beloved Imam, his beloved Prophet had died. Look how much love Abdurrahman ibn Auf had for his wives, for his mothers, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. He used to escort them when they went out, and he made Hajj with them when they made Hajj. He put special green covers on their howdahs, i.e. small rooms made to fit on a camel in which a woman can sit in privacy. They had some type of box or curtain they would put on top of, specially made to fit on top of camels so that the woman could be private. And Abdurrahman, he bought this for the sake of Allah, subhanallah. And he put green, right? He made small rooms, and he put green, special green covers, and rested in the places where they chose. This was a merit of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were not to be seen by any men except their close relatives, and were never to marry again, should have such trust and confidence in him and his honor. So, you know, we have to look at Abdurrahman ibn Auf and look how much love he had for his beloved friend, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how the love was not just a love by the tongue, but he loved the Prophet alayhi wasallam by his wealth. He took care of his family after he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he showed nasiha, he showed good. I know you're the famous boxer's cousin, right? So, I'm going to give you some money too. No, it don't work like that. Only a generous man, only a man who is noble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only a man whom doesn't care about the luxuries of this life would give, would sell a piece of land and give a portion of it to a people just because of being kin to a certain person. This doesn't happen in modern days. So he sold the land and gave it to this tribe and to the poor Muslims and the Muhajirun and Rasulullah's wives. Look how generous Abdurrahman ibn Auf, how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Abdurrahman ibn Auf. When he sent her share, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked, quote, "Who sent this money?" End quote. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, it was said that it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Upon hearing this, she quoted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words, quote, only the patient people, as-sabirun, will be compassionate to you after me, end quote. Now, I pondered over this statement, and I tried to understand the statement, and I tried to get the benefit of the statement of the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam. He said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, only the patient people will be compassionate to you after me. This could mean only those who are persistent in their deeds will be compassionate to you. Okay? If we take it this way, it could mean that, you know, people who are compassionate to her during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, saw the rewards of their compassion. And when the Prophet ﷺ died, some people stopped seeing the results of their compassion. You know, therefore, they lost patience. Or some of them may have lost patience. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, only the patient people will be compassionate to you after me. The similarity of that is that if you have a clerk, right, and the clerk is hired to work, and she could be having trouble, she could have been having a bad day, right, at home, but when she gets to work, she knows that she has to keep a smile in order to keep her income, right? Therefore, human beings want instant gratification. We want to see the results of what we did or what we invested right now. Therefore, it takes sabr, it takes patience for us to be persistent in our deeds to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes sabr, it takes ilm, it takes tolerance for us to get into the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, Allah azza wa jal made the Jannah expensive. You know we have to pay for it? Amil as-salihat, good deeds, righteous good deeds. And how righteous good deeds are produced is by iman, akhlaq, character, faith, right? Handling, learning how to handle the fitin, learning how to handle the trials Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the believer, learning how to handle the mistakes of your family, learning how to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your sins, and every one of us sins. So Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he taught us that that people want or inclined to instant gratification. We want to be thanked right now. We want to see the results of what we did right now. Therefore, this harms what we can handle, or what we're willing to invest in order to get back from. Therefore, this is why you see a lot of new shahadas. They'll just embrace Islam, they'll take shahada, but they can't be patient, because they want to enter into the Jannah right now. Okay, I became a Muslim. Okay, I took shahada. Okay, I know there's no deity worthy of worship except worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let me die, let me go to paradise. It don't work like that. Allah azza wa jal just gave you a new life. This life has to be in perseverance in the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do. We have to be patient. We have to learn this religion. We have to learn how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and we have to learn to be compassionate to one another. So this is what I get from the statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abdurrahman ibn Auf. This dua accompanied him throughout his whole life. He became the most wealthy of the Sahaba. He became the most wealthy of the Sahaba. He was rich, right? His business kept growing. His caravans rivaled the old summer and winter caravans of the Quraysh. Hundreds of camels under his name and direction continued coming to Al-Madinah, bringing to its people wheat, flour, oils, clothes, pottery, brass, perfumes, and everything they ever needed. Then they would leave again, transporting the excess of the city's production, primarily dates. You know, Medina is dates. Right? One day, a huge caravan of 700 camels belonging to Abdurrahman ibn Auf arrived in Al-Medina. As it entered the city, it was accompanied by a big commotion that was always present, you know, when a caravan comes into town. You can imagine during those days, you know, in the old country town, right? When you're deep in the country and you're sitting on the porch with your Kool-Aid and the flash water and your Off Spray, right? When you see a car coming down the road, only a car comes every 30 minutes, right? Man, there's a car, right? Man, who is that, right? You can imagine being out in the desert and don't nothing, come. And the most exciting thing to come is a caravan. So you have all the big commotion that was always present at the arrival of a caravan. This time, however, the noise was so loud that the earth began to shake. Okay, again, if you're from the country like I am, if you're in the country town and a train comes, especially if you're living right by the tracks, right? And the train comes, everybody can feel the train. Boom, boom. The pitcher starts to shake, and when it blows up, this is how the caravan of Abdurrahman ibn Auf shook the earth, okay? Shook the earth. When you have hundreds of camels, they come in storm, right? Have you ever been on the side of a diesel, and you're in a little bitty Pinto, and you're driving on the freeway, and the diesel come by, and your little car shake too? Well, this is how the caravan of Abdurrahman ibn Auf shook the city of Al-Madinah. When Aisha asked what was causing the shaking, she was told that it was coming from the caravan of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. 700 camels carrying wheat, flour, and food. She then announced, "May Allah bless what He gave him in this world and reward him in the world to come. And the world to come will be greater, for I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Abdurrahman will enter into the Jannah crawling." Before the camels had knelt down, someone delivered the news of what Aisha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had said to Abdurrahman, toward Abdurrahman ibn Auf, about his entering the Jannah. He dropped everything and rushed to the house of Aisha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you. When he was admitted, he asked, "O mother, did you hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that?" She replied, "Yes." He was so happy that he said, "If I could, I would like to enter the Jannah walking." be my witness, mother, all of these camels with their load and their saddles shall be donated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like someone coming in the masjid right now, right, with 700 Rolls Royces full with leather coats and shoes. It's like someone say, I donate this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the camel, you had better believe, a camel in the desert back then was like a jaguar with air conditioning. And if it was packed, it was big money, right? So Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with so much iman and so much good character and made him so generous for the sake of Allah. He gave all this away in hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. La ilaha illallah. From that day on, when he learned that he was one, when he was reminded that he was one of the people who went into the Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf spent even more money for the Muslims. Some of these deeds included giving 200 ounces of gold as sadaqah, carrying mujahideen in the way of Allah on 500 horses. Now this is some of what he did. And then carrying the mujahideen on 1,500 camels or horses. Alhamdulillah, all of this money did not change or deceive Abdurrahman ibn Auf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. When he was seen amongst his slaves, people could not distinguish him from them. He did not dress in a prideful manner, nor did he dress his slaves up poorly. Subhanallah. Rather, he and his slaves dressed the same, as is indicated in the Quran. Now, we talk about a lot of the Sahaba who were great fighters, who were great men, who were brave, who were courageous. And true indeed that these were really strong and brave mujahideen. Abdurrahman was not only this, brave and had all of the 20 wounds in the Battle of Uhud, but Abdurrahman, he was his best on the battlefield when it came to his nafs. Nafs means his covetousness, his own desire, right? This was the most difficult of battles that he had to face. When you have wealth, wealth is a punishment to the ignorant. Okay? And a hot coal to the believer. And a garment upon the generous. If you're a believer, and you are a one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you've been blessed with some wealth, alhamdulillah, if you're not saying here, giving it away for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hate to see how many questions you have to answer for on Yawm al-Qiyamah. How many people will be begging their rights on Yawm al-Qiyamah? How many of your brothers you looked in the eye when they had stress and pain? When they were in trouble, when they were in stress and pain, you looked in the eye and you had the money. SubhanAllah. We're laughing, but We're laughing, but we should be crying. You're going to be responsible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're not dispensing it in the way that Allah and His Messenger have ordered, then I fear for you a great day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to be just with our wealth. Allahumma ameen. InshaAllah ta'ala, we will close up this section, and we will close up our treasure chest with going over some of his will. It is reported that when he was dying, Abdurrahman ibn Auf liberated a great number of slaves. He also donated substantial amount of money to many people around him, subhanAllah. 400 dinars of gold for each remaining one of those who fought at the Battle of Badr, subhanAllah. About 100 servants, as well as a lot of money to Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Aisha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her, often made dua for him, saying, may Allah water him from the water of Salsabil, a spring in Jannah. After all his donations, there was still a huge amount of money for his children, subhanAllah. He left 1,000 camels, 100 horses, 100 sheep. He had 4 wives. Each one's share was a quarter of an eighth. Was 80,000 dinars. He left gold and silver that was divided between his inheritors. All of this because of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua that he be blessed with wealth, money. Abdurrahman ibn Auf died at an old age. He was among the wisest and most respected of the Sahaba. He had been among the 6 that Umar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, had said should select his successor after his death. Many were present at his funeral. He was carried by Sa'ad. He was carried by Sa'ad ibn Abu Waqas and Uthman ibn Affan and the man of the two rights prayed over him, i.e. Uthman ibn Affan. Ali ibn Abi Talib bade him the final farewell from this world, saying, quote, you attain the serenity of this world and overcome its fraud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Abdurrahman ibn Auf, his family, forgive him and make it easy upon him, and guide us all to look at the example of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Jazakallahu khairan. Are there any questions concerning the Sahaba Abdurrahman ibn Auf? Yes, sir. The believer.
To believe.
Yeah. And it is a punishment for the ignorant, for the sinner. Wealth is not something that the wise try to hold on to. Wealth is something that you spend, that you use an investment for the akhirah, for the hereafter. Wealth is easily attainable, but it is something that will be accountable for every penny or how we spent it. This is one of the questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking the slave on the day of judgment about how we spent our wealth. So, to to the mu'min, to the believer, it's like a hot cold, right? He's always spending it, not hoarding it, spending it in the way of Allah, taking care of your family, investing in your family, making sure your family is taken care of. But the primary reason for wealth that was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wealth is for us to establish the salah and for us to give the zakat. Wealth is not something for us to hold up, to hoard, to make these big bank accounts, and you can't even give zakat. Wealth is not something that that we spend a lifetime trying to chase. Because the one who is desiring to get to be rich, to have large amounts of wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only put inside of him fear of poverty. And you will get nothing except what Allah has already decreed for you. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Allah is Ar-Razak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, and the provision is from Allah Azza wa Jal. The provision is not from job. The provision is not from how good you are in degree. The provision is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you're displeasing the provider by getting the provision, then what kind of wisdom do you have? May Allah Azza wa Jal teach us all to have sabr. Allahumma amin. There's a question on the net. If you was trying to save for buying property to be able to work for yourself, is that hoarding wealth? No, this is not hoarding wealth. This is using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with. If you want to save your money to be independent of working for someone else, then I advise you, I commend you for doing this. And I wish a lot of people can follow your example and try to becoming independent of everyone, everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being dependent, independent from everyone except Allah is a dream of mine, myself. Allahumma ameen. So sister, inshallah ta'ala, as long as you're not disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal by buying your property, if you want to buy property, make sure you research on the Islamic Sharia, the rulings concerning buying your property, or if you're, I hope you're not doing it on riba,